Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is recorded for us in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, the children of Israel set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food, the manna God had been providing. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look to the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from the letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter. Of 10 verses in the New Testament, these are some of the best summary verses of what the Christian faith is about, and it reflects that our faith is based on the work of God from beginning to end. Even, we hear at the very end, even the good works that we do, God already had them ready for us, to simply walk in them. It starts with the bad news of who we are by nature. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is recorded for us in the gospel of St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is the second half of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus asking questions, acknowledging that he knew Jesus was more than just a prophet. Jesus' wonderful words about baptism and being born again through the water and of the Spirit. But Jesus went on to continue informing Nicodemus of what this faith is about, and he refers back to our Old Testament event and says that it applies to him, actually. Jesus said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. It does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
To you, O Christ.
Well, good morning. I hope everyone was able to get enough sleep last night. I know the time change can be a little difficult, but it's so good to see you all here this wonderful morning. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there's a question I want you all to ponder as we work our way through the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. Is this conversation about that gives an amazing glimpse into what kind of love our God has for his creation and for all the creatures therein. But before we get into that, I want you to ponder, what is love? Now, I know that there are about a million ways to answer that question. But when I hear this question, like a radio, my brain starts running through all these different songs I've heard over the years. As soon as I hear, what is love, I think of Hathaway's thinking, oh baby, don't hurt me no more. Or I hear Meatloaf, the singer, not the dish, who's singing, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Or you hear from Tina Turner, how love is nothing more than just a secondhand emotion, a passing fancy. And if you listen to any 80s band, any 80s rock band, love is something that is solely found in the physical between lovers. No, your pastor has not gone insane, I swear. Rather, you just get a glimpse of what people hear, what we hear in our culture day after day, and what we have heard for decades on end. Sure, many of you might be fans of other bands, other songs, you know, such as Elvis, Glen Campbell, or maybe the Beatles. We hear songs about love from their point of view. Indeed, they're great songs. They're inspiring. Amazing, listening, popular enough for decades on end to be enjoyed across the generations. But these songs, these artists, only stand love in a way that only the world can actually show. A love that's based on physical attraction. A love that's about as finicky as Romeo's love for Fair Juliet that changes upon the phases of the moon. And if you actually listen to these songs, they're actually kind of sad. Hathaway sings about love being returned and not being rejected by the one who stole his heart. Tina Turner treats love like it's a joke. Meatloaf even sings about how his love has its own limits. Now, but that's how our culture thinks. That's the way our society, our understanding is about love. It reveals just how terribly we don't understand what love truly is. But we hear that answered in this amazing conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. See, as we continue to look at what they say, what Jesus talks about, we are looking at the back half. How we hear about this love that is an answer to everything that God has promised to his people. Now, we won't be going through the entire conversation, but I encourage you all, go back and reread this conversation in its entirety. It's an amazing glimpse into what is to come, what is promised, what has been promised for thousands of years. I want you really to pay attention to the definition of love that is given by Jesus. Listen to what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the only definition of love that you and I need to hear. For this love is like not like anything else found in the world. It is not changed with the seasons. It does not ebb and flow with the tide. It is constant. It's a love that is shown between Creator and creation. And it's sitting right there across from Nicodemus. I wonder if he ever figured that out in that whole conversation. For this love isn't a secondhand emotion. It's not physical attraction between a couple. It is real. It is the gift of Christ to the world for the world. But yet what is amazing, or rather terrifying, is that as human creatures, we are more inclined to love the darkness rather than love the light of Christ that came to drive that away. Just listen to what Jesus says and how he describes how man understands love. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved that darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. When I hear that, I really wish that that was not how Jesus answered. I wish that's not how man understood love. Because we as human creatures, our love does not chase after what is noble, is not right, or what is holy. It chases after the darkness of this world. That is really just a copy of the sin that resides in every single one of us. There's no way that that can be love. Can it? Is our understanding of love that shallow? Well, if you're listening to what Jesus just said, it truly is. Our love is about as shallow and as deep as a small little puddle on the sidewalk. A love that's focused on the self. A love that embraces what is wrong, what is sinful. Embraces our sinful nature. Now, seriously, just listen to the words again that Christ says. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Our works are evil. You know, perhaps Tina Turner was right. What's love got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion. What you're seeing and hearing our text isn't really how man understands love. It's a lack of love. For what kind of love drives someone to embrace the darkness? What kind of love makes someone do the work that is unseen, unnoticed, unchallenged? That is the greatest issue at hand here. We are creatures that embrace what is evil. We embrace what is filth, trash, degrading. And yet at the same time, we don't want anyone else to know what it is that we do. But yet we won't change our ways. We will continue in these acts regardless of how filthy they truly are. But what are these acts? These works, as they are called? Well, it would be fair to say that these are individual deeds that we break every day. You know, lying, cheating, stealing. Everything that is found within our sinful nature. But what John records here is more than just the individual deed. Rather, it's the very nature of man. It's that fallen, sinful human nature that wants to live a life contrary to God. The nature that drives a man to seek out the darkness rather than the light. For indeed, man's nature is truly opposite to that of God. It has always been opposite ever since that fateful day in the garden. That is just who man is. And we're hearing Christ confirm that in his definition, in his talk with Nicodemus. But for this reason, our understanding of love is broken. It's twisted. It's in clear opposition to God, who has given exactly what it is that we need in this life, and yet we refuse. But for some reason, as soon as this life, this amazing gift of love came to rescue us, we rejected it again and again and again. You see it throughout all of Scripture, how many times that people have turned away from God, how many times they have openly sinned against His Word and done what is evil. The acts of idolatry, as recorded in Numbers. And they do this because they believe it's safer to live in this darkness. Because this is what the world has told us time after time, again and again. Thus, we have become convinced that this is how we understand what is love. We believe this to be true, but in reality, this is nothing more than just a lie. And unless we are ever shown anything different, anything else, then our understanding of love will be that, broken and twisted. Not to mention how limited it truly is in its own understanding. But a new understanding of love did come. This love came to save the world, came to restore creation, to lead the people out of the darkness of their sinful nature. And it's declared right there in front of Nicodemus. We hear it especially as Christ proclaims that God loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you hear it again when Christ says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." If that's not love, then I don't know what is. For thousands of years, the promise of salvation was given to the people of God again and again. First, spoken there in the garden, there while the serpent was being cursed above all livestock. It was spoken again and again by the prophets, reminding everyone that the Messiah is coming. And indeed, He came that wonderful Christmas morning. The long-awaited, the long-promised salvation, the gift to the world. And here He sits, talking with Nicodemus, a Pharisee of all people, about the matters of spirit and flesh, of love that is to save the world and all who are in it. For this love brought forth this amazing light into the world. But although this act of love has not yet come to pass in our text, by the time of this conversation, but the foundation is laid bare. Christ explains exactly what's going to take place in the days to come. How He too, just as that bronze serpent in the wilderness, will be lifted up. And see, when you and I really start to pay attention to this text, what is said in this conversation, you notice more and more about what kind of love this truly is. It's a love that's consistent, that has not gone back on what it's promised. It has been promised again and again the exact same thing for thousands of years. Oh, really? It does not waver. It does not change. It does not give up. It is consistent. Because it is the love. It is that deep covenantal faithfulness, that unconditional love that only God can give. This is the right and proper understanding of love. And you and I are better for it. This love has done amazing things in our lives, more than we will ever truly understand. I know this is the season of Lent. I know we're focusing on the last day of Christ's life and His earthly ministry. But you and I already know what is to come. We know what will take place. We are living in light of this greatest act of love ever shown to the world. Because we get to enjoy the amazing gift of forgiveness for our sins, the promise of eternal life, through faith in Christ. See, we know this to be true. We know what Christ did those 2,000 years ago. For it was at the Christ that the right and proper understanding of love was shown at that cross. And it has changed all who has ever believed in Him. This act of love showed us something far greater than the world has ever had to offer. This love led us away from the darkness of our sin. This love changed how we go about in our everyday lives. And we hear it and proclaim it every time we gather together to worship. For it is love that teaches us to confess. It is love we hear when we hear the absolution. We proclaim it every time someone is baptized. When they stand there renouncing the devil and his works. Or we speak on behalf of the infant who is being baptized. For this love taught us to live worthy as the one who called us out of this darkness and into that marvelous light. Is that same love that's drowned that old Adam day after day. Is that same love that we embrace every single day in our lives. And that same gift of love that invites us to join at the table, to be fed both physically and spiritually. Where we proclaim His death again and again until He returns. You and I have received this amazing gift of love freely because the love of our God deemed it so. If that ain't love, then I don't know what is. So as we look back at this amazing conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, we can answer that question, what is love? This is what love is. It is the gift of Christ, given to the world to redeem creation, to free us from sin, to defeat the power of sin, death, and the devil. That is love. And it's more consistent, it's not limited, and is a far better understanding than what you hear in our songs today. That is love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.